What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the 13th episode of NFL Interview. I am back with my good friend, Connor Cavanaugh. It's been a Thanksgiving week, man. It's been a lot of football on Thanksgiving, a lot of good games on, thankfully. No blowouts, all competitive games, and a really fun week of football, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Steve Young always says right after Thanksgiving is when you can really start figuring out what each team is about. So, and I kind of agree with him. So we're getting into this stretch where we're really going to start to see, you know, the playoff picture unfold right in front of us.
Yeah, speaking of playoff pictures, the entire NFC East is in the playoff picture, and that's something that has a pretty decent chance to just to actually hold true of what it is right now, which is incredible to even think of where the division has been the last few years. But nonetheless, we'll move on from that. It's just pretty incredible to see that. I don't know the last time we've seen all four teams in the division make a playoff. I don't know the stat on that at all, but it's been years.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
It does not happen very often, and there's a lot of things you can attest to it, but all you can say is the NFC East is back to being where it should be, being very competitive, so that's good to see. But Thanksgiving games, man, let's start it off with a very fun game. Probably my favorite game out of the three. They were all good. But the Bills-Lions, man, did the Bills squeak it out by three? But the Lions, like you said last week, have looked a lot better, and they look good in this game. There were things they let get away from them that they shouldn't have. There's smarts in this game where they throws like Jared Goff once back, and there's a lot of things you can take away from Dan Campbell and his time management. That was a thing later in the game as well. But they looked pretty good. They covered the 10-point spread, and all in all, though, the Bills, they have more talent, and they just went out.
Yeah, you talked about the 10-point spread. That's where I was going to go. 10-point spread on Thanksgiving in Detroit, that really shows you the lack of respect coming into this game that a lot of people had for, you know, Detroit hanging around in this game. And it took a field goal with 2 seconds, you know, for Buffalo to pull this one out. So good job by Detroit. I mean, they were able to hang around, keep it interesting all day. Like you said, it was a really good game to watch. Obviously, mistakes, and you can't make those kind of mistakes against a team like Buffalo. On Buffalo's side, Josh Allen, to me, just continues to do some things that do concern me a little bit. He does make some really errant throws. It kind of seems like, and I've said this before, but it kind of just seems like there's a little bit of hero ball in how he approaches playing the game. And when he runs, the hits he takes, if I was one of the front office people in Buffalo, I do not like that. They were able to squeak out a win, which, you know, obviously they needed a win here. They go to 8-3. Wasn't, you know, a very convincing, you know, win by any means, but a win is a win, and on Thanksgiving, you know, those are a little bit tougher to come by than if it was on a regular Sunday. So good for Buffalo, but I do still have some concerns about Josh Allen.
Yeah, he hasn't looked relatively great throwing the football since that elbow injury has popped up. It was in New York against the Jets a few weeks back, and ever since then, it just looks like some of his the deep throws have just been a little bit off. They look underthrown, or they look a little bit too high. It's just that he does the timing and the velocity on the balls don't look as great as we know Josh Allen arm and Josh Allen capabilities are very great. So that was something that definitely turned my eye. But I want to talk specifically. Detroit had a very, 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 very good chance to win this game late in the fourth quarter. 2 minutes, 44 seconds left. Buffalo comes down and gets himself a touchdown, takes a lead with 2:44. And great job by Jared Goff and company to go right down the field and score. Amon-Ra St. Brown, back of the end zone, 14-yard catch. Very nice. And there were some talks, I think, not many talks, but there were a few I saw on Twitter, like, hey, why don't you go for a win right now? And it's Thanksgiving, it's your home game. Go try to get this win here. Not that that made the difference at all to try to make it a 26-22 game at the time. But they scored. They get the touchdown. They get the touchdown. And they're right there. Then we have the Detroit Lions defense and the running ability that we see every year. And the ability for this Bills team to score and get chunk plays in bunches every single game. I feel like this has been how they've ended their games, either on the winning side or losing side. This is how they've ended their games. Buffalo just goes right down the field, and I missed a field goal by Ed to make this a tie game. For what's speak for the Detroit Lions,
yep.
Two ties game up with under 30 seconds left in the game. And with under 30 seconds left in the game, man, there's no reason for you to give up any sort of long passing play. Have the middle of the field wide open is unacceptable. First play from scrimmage is a 36-yard play. That can't happen. I don't care what your defense is. You're a professional football team. I know it's not on Dan Campbell, first off. I think you could have, very well could have, probably ran the ball on third down, first off, before the field goal. Go get a first down. And make this game have no time left, because you've seen this team do this three straight weeks, just run down the field with 30 seconds left, chunk play, which again, it can't happen, but they make it look so easy. And for them to get a 45-yarder off in about a 20-second period, it's just unacceptable. And you know they have three timeouts. There's a lot of time left for that type of offense. There's two options. You have to play sticks or bring pressure. Like, you can't, yeah. You can't let it happen. You can't just play back, prevent, unconventional, just nothing. If you're not going to actually, if you're going to take away the sidelines of three timeouts, they'll just use the middle of the field on you. And that's what they did. It was very easy for them to do. And Josh Allen, man, he'll run. And especially when he knows he has his timeouts, he'll run. He'll do whatever he needs to do to get yardage. And he did that. And they ended up squeaking one out with 7 seconds left to spare. Tyler Bass, 45-yarder. And it was just one of those endings where it's like, it's just a Bills ending, man. And it was definitely tough to watch because Detroit made the play. They made the necessary decisions and the necessary plays to get down the field in a two-minute huddle to get down the field and really play good football to end, which was their best drive since the early third quarter. When they came out of half, or late third quarter after they came out of half, they hadn't really have anything going. They started early, but they went to the field, ran well. They got Amon-Ra involved, and they scored a touchdown. And they kicked the field goal after a touchdown, back-to-back drives. So for you to go that far to make those many plays, to put yourself in a really good position to tie and go into overtime, and then to give it all up in 20 seconds is just, it's heartbreaking. And again, this is what good teams do. It's what bad teams do.
Yep.
And that's all there is to it. After I got all that out, eventually. But we got it all
out. We got there.
So, all in all, good game for the Buffalo Bills. And they need to win that game, because we saw Mike White throw a few touchdowns and look much better than Zach Wilson on any given Sunday.
Yep.
But let's move on, man, to the division rivals. Giants, Cowboys, and Dallas and Jerry's World on Thanksgiving took home an 8-point win. And it really... it felt closer until the end. It felt like the Giants early were really just kind of... until the end as well. But early, the Giants were playing really good football, like containing the big chunk plays. And then in the second half, you saw more chunk plays. You saw Zeke get used a bit more. Dalton Schultz had 2 touchdowns in this game. He was very big, a big component, which you really haven't seen all year from them. And Dak had a good game. He threw 2 picks early. He looked all over the place. He did not look good at all. But he settled in well, and he made the necessary throws to get this team back where it should be. And CeeDee Lamb, once again, looked like a superstar.
Yeah, this was an opposite of what we're normally seeing from Dak. We see the first half of ridiculous numbers, 2 touchdowns, a couple hundred yards, and then a couple of interceptions and a horrible second half. This was the flip, like you just pointed out. For the Giants, I mean, you came in beat up and battered, so many guys are hurt, and you knew that you were going to need a miracle to go into Jerry World and win this game, and they went into the halftime locker room up by 6. They were up 13-7. They had to be feeling good about what they were doing defensively, but offensively, you could just tell, even from the start, even when they had a lead, they weren't going to be able to do enough. They had the one touchdown in the first quarter that was called back on the illegal man downfield, which was a call that can you can have a little bit of argument about.
Yeah, a little bit of argument.
But nevertheless, it gets taken away. And then the second half, you just saw, like you said, Dak take over. Three touchdowns to tight ends, two to Dalton Schultz and one to Peyton Hendershot. You know, they do the little celebration on the Hendershot touchdown, which was a little over the edge. I thought they should have gotten a flag. But anyway.
Yeah, you know.
You knew that this was Dallas's game to win, and all they had to do was come out, step on their throats for a couple of minutes, and the Giants were just going to have to lay down and let it happen because they are just not in the position right now to fight back with them. And that's exactly what we saw in the second half. It is a little concerning as a Cowboy fan that it took that long, though. I mean, you're playing at home on Thanksgiving in Jerry World against the New York freaking Giants, and it takes you until the third quarter, you know, to get it going. It just seemed like in the first half they didn't even really want to be there. You know, they didn't look prepared. You know, they didn't look like they were playing too hard. They weren't putting, you know, they weren't stepping on the gas, you know, for anything. And for me, that is a little bit concerning. But other than that, you know, not something that was crazy to see. You know, the Cowboys go out and dominate a half like they did against, you know, the Giants. And overall, you know, nice win for Dallas.
Yeah, nice win for Dallas. I one thing I noticed, Dallas's three out of their four drives, okay, one started at the 25, so they went down 75. Their other two drives started at the Dallas 7, a 93-yard drive, started at the Dallas 20, an 80-yard drive. So we're accustomed to now for a few years that the ball after kickoff ends back at the 25. So you give up a 93-yard touchdown drive, 11 plays, which honestly isn't that many plays in 6 minutes to go on 93 yards. And it's a Giant defense that's not strong, but it's been playing up to par, and they were really good at one thing, controlling the run game. And this game, man, they ran the ball down their throats when they needed to. I think combined they had 36 rushes between the two players, between Tony Pollard and Zeke. I'm sorry, 34 rushes between the two guys for these two. And it's like for the Cowboys. It's their recipe for success, but it's tough to see when you don't really have your best stuff throwing the football that your running game is not going to, it's not going to carry you the first half. And against weak football teams, you can get away with it, and they did today. But if in the future, when you're playing these, you're going to be in the playoffs, so you're going to play these playoff caliber teams that are going to have better defenses, going to be stronger in these areas. And if you're Dak Prescott, right, if your running game isn't going to be strong early and you're not able to go utilize it, and Dak's going to look that ugly early, it can get away from you. Again, it doesn't here, because this was the first week I saw Daniel Jones play really, really poor, and he's been not making really that many mistakes, not making awful throws. He didn't throw a pick in this game, but he just didn't look anywhere where he was the past few weeks, and neither the whole offense didn't. They shut down Saquon Barkley as well, the Cowboys did, but for the Cowboys' point, it's if you're not going to be strong early, if you're not going to be able to establish a run early in a playoff atmosphere, I don't know if you're going to throw your way back, because I haven't seen it yet from this team. We saw it, I mean, last week when they played the Vikings, they weren't really throwing the ball. CD didn't have great weeks, but they were running down their throat when they have to, and they just continue to do it. The game script was in their favor, and the Vikings laid down. But I want to see more to Dak still to this point. I still want to see more to Dak, because he's the guy that, you know, if they're going to stick with him, they're not going to go to Cooper Rush, even though I still think Cooper Rush played perfectly fine. But there were rumors early in this game. What is Dak ever going to be back? Is he ever going to be the Dak Prescott that they want him to be? And who knows? I think he is what he is as a quarterback. He's just kind of a above-average game manager that can make the throws when he has to, but all in all, man, the Dallas Cowboys took care of business, but I'm not sold on the team. I saw 1 week of domination, and this week it didn't look anywhere near the same. So that's where I'm at with the Cowboys. But again, you take care of business against a poor opponent who tried to claw back late but didn't have enough in the tank. So a game that I think a lot of people didn't really watch as intently was probably the best game of the night. Of the day, which is the Vikings-Patriots. And I didn't watch a lot of this game, but this was a really, really good game. And I'm surprised by the outcome, to be honest, a little bit. I thought New England was going to go in there defensively and make it difficult for Kirk Cousins and make it difficult for this offense to really move the football as effectively after what we saw last week. But he was almost perfect this week. He threw a pick, but he had a 116.1 rating. He had 37 attempts, threw 7 incomplete passes, and looked really, really well. And no one can guard Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, no one can guard Justin Jefferson. And to your point, you know, about this being the best game of Thanksgiving Day, I mean, I kind of agree with you. This was such a back and forth game, pretty much throughout the whole, you know, throughout the whole game. You know, New England punches right back after the early first quarter Jefferson touchdown with, you know, a Philadelphia legend Nelson Agholor touchdown. Yeah, and just every single score from Minnesota was countered with a score from New England. And it was just back and forth, you know, all night long. Obviously, you have the Adam Thielen touchdown at the end, you know, that breaks it. And this is a really big win for Minnesota. They really needed this. New England, you know, we're used to seeing them being, you know, really sound defensively, making, you know, big plays on that side of the ball. We didn't see that today. I mean, on Thursday. Looked like Minnesota did a lot of what they wanted to do pretty much all night. But in the same breath, so did New England's offense. And Mac Jones, you saw a couple of things out of him that maybe you haven't seen if, you know, you haven't watched every single Patriots game. Maybe, you know, he's growing into something a little bit more than what we've seen thus far. Either way, you know, the biggest point is that Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in football right now.
Yeah.
And I don't really think there's much of a debate for it. I mean, I know there's Devontae, and I right now the way that this guy takes over games,
oh my gosh,
is unlike any other. So right now, to me, he's the best wide receiver in football, and Minnesota needs to get on track, and they did just that.
Yeah, and it looks better when they're on a winning team too. Like, you have your wide receiver on a winning team, and he's making the winning plays to get you that 9-2 record that you have. But your point about Mac Jones, yeah, he threw for 382 in this game,
yeah.
And I couldn't tell you the last time I've seen Mac Jones throw over 300. And that nothing against those stats. Like, you don't have to throw 300 to be a good quarterback, but it's also getting away from the Patriot way, right? This running style type of way. And you had to in this game. And for their sake, they scored in 5 straight drives. Now, 4 of the 5 scores were field goals. But you got there, couldn't punch in every time, but you got down the field every single time. In that second quarter, you didn't. The second and third quarter, every drive you had was a score. You didn't have a single drive in either of those quarters that didn't result into something negative, which is incredible to see. Now, the Vikings defense has had a couple games now this year where either running the football, throwing the football, they get torched. And that's something that you need, like your Kirk Cousins, to step up really, really big in this game, and your superstar wide receivers to help take over games. And that's what they did. And that's exactly what the Vikings should be. That's their offense is their strong suit. They built this team really, really strongly offensively, and I like it a lot. But it's a few weeks now, at least 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks where they get losses, or not losses, but they have to score a lot of points to win games. And to give up 382 to Mac Jones is a little worrisome, because that's not anywhere near the Patriots' style of football.
For sure.
And you know what? I mean, their wide receivers are who we got. They have Jacoby Myers. You have Devontae Parker. You have Nelson Agholor. I mean, you don't have any big-name guys. So for them to have this big of an output is just it's good for the Patriots, even though they lost the game, but worrisome for me for Minnesota for being the playoff team that they are.
I agree.
So, but yeah, as you said, Philadelphia legend Nelson Agholor. I don't hate Nelson Agholor. I really don't. I mean, in the Super Bowl, he caught a touchdown. I can't hate it. You know,
I hear you.
I can't hate it, but he can't drop. He can't catch anything else, but he did catch a touchdown. But so Thanksgiving games, definitely a W.
Yes.
Any other thoughts? I think this is one of the better Thanksgivings we had in a bit.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good slate. I thought all three games, for the most part, were really competitive all throughout. Obviously, there was a little blip in the Cowboys game, but that wasn't for most of the stretch. It was really competitive, good football to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's real quick. I just want to chat on this. The Bucks Browns game, right? The Browns are what they are. They get the boy, the savior, back next week against the Houston Texans in Deshaun Watson after his 11-game suspension. And they end up beating the Buccaneers at really their own game. They just ran the ball. And that's the nature of their beast. That's how they've been winning. But for Tom Brady and crew, man, it's just another one of those you got to take care of business. If you, they're first in that division, but it's just Chris Godwin's having a resurgence, which is good. Rashad White had a good game, but it's one of those games, man. Tom, you got to win these. You know, you throw the ball 43 times, 246 isn't a lot of yardage for that many throws. And your wide receivers, other than Chris Godwin, really were quiet on the day. I mean, Mike Evans had 9 targets for 2 catches, but I think for the Buccaneers, it's just another reason why that whole division's weak. But I can't doubt Tom in the playoffs, but if they make the playoffs, I don't know where this team goes because they lose these games more often than they've had before.
Yeah, they just Tom Brady has not had a good season overall. He's had a couple of halves in games where we've seen, you know, vintage Tom Brady, or at least what we've seen the last couple of years when he's still been an MVP caliber quarterback. The overall scope of the year has not been good for Tom Brady. And for Cleveland, we'll see what it looks like with Deshaun Watson. I'm sure it's going to look a lot different. So don't really have much to say, you know, have much to say on them. It's a good prideful win, you know, on their home turf. But yeah, Tom Brady just has not had a good year.
Yeah, and it comes with age.
Yeah,
I guess you could say it might be catching up to him now.
Father Time.
There's a lot. Yeah, you can't be Father Time, man. And he's done it for a while, but it's what it is. But let's talk about a game that looked like Father Time was going to take over this game, because first off, they had a delay in this game, which is the Ravens-Jaguars game in Jacksonville with Dougie P and Trevor Lawrence. And the Ravens and their woes of the fourth quarter losses and how they continue somehow every single week disappoint. First thing, I have to give credit to Jacksonville. They aren't some juggernaut, but they looked really... That fourth quarter from Trevor Lawrence was the franchise quarterback Trevor Lawrence showing, and that's my first big takeaway from this game.
Yeah, you actually stole it from me. I thought you were going to talk about Baltimore. That's where I was going to go. Lawrence looked great in the second half of this game. Zay Jones had a huge game and a huge fourth quarter. Obviously, the comeback, the two-point conversion for Dougie P, obviously a really good win for a young team who really could, you know, we talked earlier in the year about how they've been playing some, you know, tough games, but they don't know how to win yet. This was a Sunday where they figured out how to win one of these close games, and to do it in comeback fashion, I think it's really good for the confidence of that young team. For Baltimore, I mean, it's just the same song and dance. And you said this before, you know, before we started recording. I mean, they can't find a way to close out games. I mean, they're 7-4, and they could be 11-0 right now. I mean, they've had decent sized leads in every single game that they've played this year. Some of it's Lamar Jackson's play. Some of it is, you know, the fact that, you know, their running game is inconsistent. You know, some days they look like, you know, the Eagles or, you know, these big powerhouse running football teams. And then other days they're totally shying away from it. They're making Lamar Jackson throw the ball way more than he needs to be with a depleted wide receiving core. I'm not totally sure what's going on there in Baltimore. Obviously, Lamar doesn't have the contract. He hasn't looked phenomenal. I mean, he's had some really good some good performances, and they are 7-4, but he's had a couple stinkers too. You know, this one at the end does not, you know, look very good, you know, on his season resume. And, you know, at the end of the day, you put the ball in the hands of, or, you know, on the feet of the best kicker in football, and, you know, he came up short. So, I mean, it's a tough loss for Baltimore.
It's a tough loss. I mean, he threw 50% completion percentage in this game for Lamar Jackson. And they're just not the powerhouse run game that we're accustomed to seeing from this team. If that's not there, this team's going to have these games, and they've had multiple now, where they're just not as strong offensively. Early on this year, they were throwing the football really, really, really well. That's not their team. It's not going to be how they win games. And once their real true identity starts to show again with how they should be able to win football games, it's not there. I mean, you're throwing to Josh Oliver. You're throwing to Deshaun Jackson. Mark Andrews is Mark Andrews. DeMarcus Robinson is not doing anything. Patrick Ricard is not doing anything. There's nothing really there. So to your point where they can be 11-0, I disagree. I think this team's lucky to be 7-4. I don't think this roster is really that strong. Their defense isn't that hot. Their linebacking core is pretty good. It's a solid linebacking core. But they've had a lot of games this year where if I go back to the Baltimore Ravens, for a quick second here before I give more credit to Dougie P because he deserves it all because it's Dougie P. But their games that they win and lose are not like they won a 26-19 game against the Patriots. They won a 22-17 game against the Bengals. They won a 20-17 game against the Browns. They won a 27-22 game against the Buccaneers. They had a 10-point win against the Saints. They had a 19-3 against the Panthers, but that is what it is. Or not a 19-3, 13-3, where they honestly looked awful in that game. If it wasn't the Panthers, they'd lose that game to New Orleans. I don't see, honestly, how this team had a legit chance to be 11-0. I get it. The fourth quarter comebacks are bad. Like the games that they look the strongest offensively are the games they blow. And that's an issue. If you're going to win the squeakers. You're going to win the games that you should win and you're squeaking by. But those games that you have in the bag and you have a big 10, 13, 17 point lead in the fourth quarter that you let go and it's every single week, you deserve it. Your team has not shown anything all week. Lamar can't close a game. Harbaugh has his questions are now being raised to him that why can't his football team ever close out a single fourth quarter? And I don't think the team's just that strong. I really don't think it's that strong. They haven't done anything to impress me all year. Lamar impressed me early. But other than that, he's just kind of been kind of what he is. He's just a good runner of the football. He's good out of the pocket. And, you know, when it comes to him using his arm, there's nothing there.
I think the biggest problem for them right now is how Cincinnati's heating up. Because we've seen Cincinnati the last couple of weeks look really good. And, you know, they were able to pull out a really tough win, you know, against a really tough football team on Sunday. I think that's the biggest problem right now for Baltimore because they're now creeping right up there in the division. And, I, you know, given another week or two, I think Cincinnati's going to take it over.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really do. I think they will take this game over. Take the division over, and it's I don't know. It's worrisome for me, man, because I just don't. I don't really see it anywhere on this team where I can be confident in saying that they're going to be able to change their ways of how they're getting points, because they're not going to get points any other way than what they're doing now, and. They had Gus Edwards back in this game. Now, their running back core has been depleted all year. It's been back and forth between a bunch of different guys. It's been a revolving door. But if you're Lamar Jackson, you play for a contract, you have to win games with your legs, and you have to win games by yourself when you have leads in the game. And for them not to do it, man, I definitely will not be surprised when the Bengals overtake them in this division. And I don't know if Baltimore... how many more wins under their belt they're going to get, to be real, to get into the playoffs as well. They're 7-4 team. They're a good thing they're 7-4 right now. They have leverage, but I don't know. I don't think they're as strong as you. Not that you think they're strong, but I don't think they should be 11-0 team. The fact that they can be an 11-0 team is a good thing, but it's very worrisome because they just haven't shown it, and that gives you false hope. So I think... the fact that they're 7-4, you have to see how you're losing games, and you got to change it now. If you're 11-0, you're not going to make changes. You're going to play. You know, you don't blow any leads. Oh, yeah, you let them get 13, not 14 that quarter. That is what it is. But they have to do something about it. As for Jacksonville, I said it. Trevor, you were going to say it as well. Trevor Lawrence looked like a franchise quarterback. It was a great fourth quarter comeback. Everything was clicking. And Dougie P had a pair of balls on him. That's like you said, he made a play, or it went for two, and it worked. And they Justin almost kicked a 67-yarder. That would have been electric. But again, those are the type of games that if you're a Baltimore fan, you squeak that one out. You love it, but you know, is what it is. Good teams do win games like that, but I just don't see how they're a good team. Good for Jacksonville, though. I mean, not that they're really going to go any farther, but it's a win against a good opponent, so. It was good to see them finally play a pretty good football game since earlier in the year. So I rambled on that for a little bit, but listen, man, the Ravens have done this too much. I can't give them credit where there's no credit to be given. So let's move. Let's talk about the Jets and Mike White. Let's just talk Mike White. Every time this guy comes in for a fill-in, he throws for 300 yards. And I want to know your thoughts. Does Zach Wilson deserve another start this season if Mike White's playing. Well, I can't use if Mike White's playing, but right now, after you saw your quarterback make your wide receivers look like they can play football, would you put Zach Wilson in the game again when you're in a playoff hunt right now?
No. I wouldn't even chance it. Like you just said it, the offense looked so much more dynamic with Mike White. The guys rally around him. They seem like they love him. For me, I'm sitting down Zach Wilson. I'm saying, listen, it didn't work out earlier in the year how we wanted. You got hurt early on. This guy is providing us a spark right now, and we as an organization, we need to do what's best for us to win football games right now because we're in a hunt. And Mike White's the answer right now. I'm not saying he is long-term. I don't believe in him long-term. I want to get that very straight. But right now, you can't go back to Zach Wilson with the game and the performance, you know, that you saw out of your whole team, not just Mike White, but just the whole team with Mike White out there.
Yeah, they looked really, really well passing the football. I mean, they threw for 308 yards in this game, which was the first time they threw for 308 yards. Technically, they threw for that many yards against the Patriots in a loss. But since week four when they played the Dolphins in a high-scoring game, they scored 40 points. But you can't go back to that guy now. You're going to lose the locker room even more if you try to turn back to your first-round pick.
Yep.
And as much as that is true, it's your first-round pick and you want it, you want him to play if you're in the front office. But it's like you said earlier this year, you got to realize if it's not going to work, not saying it's not going to work. This has been 1 week of football. But I think that comment really speaks volumes to this team. And they all rallied around Mike White. I don't think they do that again for Zach Wilson at all. And that's like you just got to cut your ties and say, you know what, it's not working. I'm going to stick with my guy. We have 6 games left on the schedule. We have to win as many of these again because we're, as an organization, have a chance to make the playoffs for the first time in a lot of years. And I think Zach Wilson might get shipped off. But that's, you know, we'll see.
I know why this is a conversation, but it really shouldn't be. I mean, if you watched Zach Wilson as the quarterback for the Jets this year and you watched that game on Sunday, this shouldn't even be a conversation. We shouldn't even have to talk about this. This should be Mike White's job, and we should move on, and Zach Wilson could go figure his stuff out on the sideline with his hood up. Whatever he needs to do right now, this team is too good and too young and too talented and too confident to be trouting out the lesser quarterback right now. It shouldn't even be a conversation.
No. And I do say something. Nathan Peterman did start for the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
He's terrible.
Bad.
Awful. But that doesn't change the offense.
Nope.
The defense only let up 10 points. And you've said it before. They're a playoff caliber defense. With that good of a defense, you have to just send out your best troops, man, and go for it. What do you have to lose as the Jets? Who cares about people's feelings? As the Jets, you have your fan base finally rejuvenated a little bit. You have some talk about you. You have guys in your locker room believing a little bit after a 31-point performance and just a dominating performance. You might as well. And I totally agree. So, Mike White, you had a job before, and you know what, man? You're probably going to keep it, boss. And you can you might be able to pack Zach Wilson's bags for him if you have to. So, enough about the Jets, but good for Mike White, man. He comes in and does his job every time he's asked for, and that's as a backup quarterback, that's what you want. So, I hope to see him make strides. I don't know how old Mike White is. He's
27 or 28,
okay,
I believe.
Okay, he's right there.
Yep.
He's right there. He's with the best, basically the rest of the league, but... So, good for Mike White, man. It really is. So, I was happy to see that on Sunday. That was something. I kind of saw it coming. I think we all did.
Yeah.
So, all right, man. Let's go to a thing I didn't really see coming. Or, not a thing I didn't see coming, but just a game I didn't see coming. I didn't see the 7-5 Commanders really being in a playoff spot right here. So, let me hear your thoughts against the Falcons, who have been a hungry team lately.
Yeah, you didn't do this on purpose, but it was really good placing how you did this because the Commanders are the Jets, just with a little bit more consistent quarterback play. That's what this is. They're defensively, they are carrying this team right now. And Heinicke, in every single game, is doing just enough and making a couple of plays here and there to vault them to victory. This was totally about the defense.
obviously they have the interception in the end zone to end the game on the tip pass by Daron Payne, which sealed it off. The offense did not look very good. Brian Robinson had a huge day. First 100-yard game on the ground. I mean, but offensively, they want to run the football. They want to control the line of scrimmage, and they want to get a little bit going out of play action and control the clock. This team is about defense. They just have a little bit more consistent play. I mean, and if you're the Falcons, this was a really big opportunity for you with how bad the division's been and with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers losing. This was an opportunity to come in and win a game because Washington's offense did not play well in this game. I do believe Washington is better than Atlanta, but Washington's offense did not play very well in this game. Mariota had a lot of opportunities. This is the first time I saw Mariota play a full 60 minutes this year. He's not very good. And even though they were able to run the ball against, you know, a decent amount against, you know, this Commanders D-line, they didn't convert it into points enough. So a really good one for the Commanders. You know, now they sit at 7-5. Really tough schedule going down the stretch. We'll see what happens. For Atlanta, this was one you really needed.
Yeah, this was a chance to steal it and actually gain some ground in the division that it really isn't anybody's. But
no.
It's one that you would absolutely want, and they weren't able to do it. This was this was in Washington, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so this was in Washington. But either way, for the Commanders, man, you're right. It was the thing about the quarterbacks really in this game. I think you said to your point, I watched a little bit of this game. I was able to watch some of it on Red Zone and catch some ending and kind of tune in a little bit when I saw the game close down the stretch, and I thought it was a fun one. And the whole third quarter, fourth quarter, and the defense actually really does surprise me because – at the beginning of this year, Washington's secondary, it was getting torn apart. It was awful. But it's a lot to really give credit to the pass rush of this team.
Yep.
They are a good pass rush. It's all about them getting back to healthy. And I don't know when Chase Young's coming back. I know we kept seeing it week after week. It's progressing.
It's looking like we're going to see him on Sunday.
So that's only going to help this defensive line. And that's, again, I always love the word identities in football, man. You have identities as teams. D-line, run game. That's your just ways to victory. And your quarterback that is a mobile quarterback that needs to make the necessary throws when possible, doesn't have to do it with his arm, but just has to make the plays when called upon, and he has done it. So this was definitely a fun one to watch. A fun one from a football guy. People see a 19-13 game, see these two teams, it's like, what do I care about this for, you know? No one cares. And if you watch it, man, it was very intriguing to see how people get answered defensive punches, you know, when you have chances from both sides to really go down and both teams to make a statement to the Commanders to say that, hey, our win against Eagles wasn't a fluke. Like, we're a good football team. And for the Falcons to just attempt to steal a division, which is again, insane. But, fun game to watch. And it was good for Washington to pull out that win, man. Definitely. 7-5 is a good space to be. Like
You
said, with a really, really tough schedule coming up and getting their D-line healthier than it is now, it's going to be fun to see down the stretch, see how they control some of those teams. So, good for Washington and good for Taylor Heineke. I love Taylor Heineke. He's such a good guy to root for.
Yeah, you know? He's easy to root for, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what he is. And he is what he is as a quarterback, but he's fine. He's fine. So, Chargers-Cardinals, man. Initial thoughts.
I watched this game from start to finish.
You did. I did. I watched like basically the first half and then like the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Arizona came out guns a-blazing. And, you know, they built up an early lead. Kyler had a hell of a first half. He looked really good in the first half coming back from the injury. And it was good to see because Arizona's had a tough year. Obviously, Kyler was banged up these last 2 weeks, didn't play. They got absolutely embarrassed in Mexico City last Monday. So for Kyler to go out and have the first half that he did was really big. And Justin Herbert didn't really look all that great in the first half. But it was a total flip in the second half. You started to see Justin Herbert really find his rhythm, especially with DeAndre Carter for some reason, who had a big day.
Yeah.
Really out of nowhere. I know he's had a solid year, but you know, for him to be the lead guy pretty much all day besides Austin Eckler for Justin Herbert was crazy to me. He's a former Commander. And the Chargers defense late in the game, really, they had a couple of really big stops, you know, to give the Chargers a chance to go and win this game. A huge sack late in the fourth quarter, you know, on Kyler Murray.
And then they get the ball back. They're able to get downfield, the big touchdown. And then we talked about, you know, Dougie P going it for two, going for two for the win. And Brandon Staley did the same thing. And we've,
yeah, he did.
I know a lot of people give Brandon Staley, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of slack for some of the decisions he makes, some of the fourth downs, you know, that he attempts. This was obviously, you know, a good choice. He had a good play. Gerald Everett wide open in the end zone at the end of it. Easy play and a really nice win for the Cardinals, who, you know, they now sit at 6-5. I think it is important for the morale of a team to be over 500 as opposed to under, even Absolutely. Though it's not that, you know, not that big, of a record discrepancy. So I think this is a really big win for the Chargers on the road and for the Cardinals. It's kind of like the same song and dance we've seen all year. They're in games, but they're in games and they kind of figure out a way to lose them.
Yeah, no, it's a kick in the butt for that for the Cardinals.
Yes.
Because this was a game where you have control and you have a lead up until the final minute of the game where you pull this out, maybe there's something left for the season, and you can use that, you know, you have D-Hop back and James Conner's back, and you're, you know, early in the game, Kyler looked good, and then I guess you can go with the post-game interview schematically in the second quarter. They didn't look, in the second half, they didn't look great, which was definitely interesting to hear him shout out. Cliff Kingsbury there, who I had Flack on before, who really hasn't really shown me anything that he's very good at his
job.
He's
done. I think he's done. I think he's done too. We won't see him anymore.
Yeah, so. I absolutely think he's done too. And it's scary. I think they go after an Eric Bieniemy, in my opinion, because why not? You know, you got to figure something out on offense, and if that guy's the offensive guru that people think he is, might as well give him a chance, because we had heard his name all last year, and he never got a chance, and there might be a chance this year. But I don't know. We'll see where they go. But as for the game itself, I really was impressed with, again, it's 2 weeks in a row where I was impressed with Justin Herbert being able to be the guy late again and be the guy that's able to put you in good spots to win games. I don't think they won last week. They lost last week, right?
Yeah, they lost.
They lost last week, but he played well.
Yeah.
And he this time he played well enough again to show that he might be able to come back to what he was last year and show the young promise that he had coming into this year. He had a 109 rating. He threw the ball 47 times, which is a lot. Three touchdowns. But he looked a lot better.
I think it's no coincidence that these two games Keenan Allen was a part of. Continue.
Yeah. Keenan Allen was a part of both of those games for sure. And that definitely helps when you don't have to throw to...
It's a safety blanket.
Easily. And his original safety blanket might be Austin Eckler. That guy gets 15 targets a game.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
I mean, how can you not give it to a guy like that?
Yeah, you really know? Can. I mean, the guy, you throw it to him, he has 20 rushing yards, you toss it to him, he runs. That's it. And yeah, he does his job. But, man, it's just tough. It's a tough blow for the Cardinals, man. This is one that definitely kicks you in. And the shouting out from Kyler Murray after the game says a lot. And I don't know where this team goes in the future, but all I know is they're in a division that's tough, and this was one to get back into it, and they fell out of it. So, as for the Chargers, they're in the same boat as the Bengals now. Right, record-wise, I think they're both 6-5?
Yes.
So, I mean, hey, if you're going to go make a playoff run, this is the game you needed to win. Go show me something. If Keenan Allen's back and you're going to be healthy, show me something. The defense is playing a little bit better. You saw it in the second half that they look better. So go show me something, because this is what you were supposed to be. You're supposed to be this team to win these games and continue to do that. So I'm excited for that. Don't have extreme confidence in them that happening, but I want to see it. And this is what they were supposed to be. But that's all for that game, man. Seahawks though, Seahawks game versus the Raiders. I just want to talk strictly Seahawks because the Raiders are a bunch of nothing. And the Seahawks, it's tough. He can't really lose this game. The Raiders have no business at all being competitive right now. And you have an opportunity to really step on the throat of a bad football team and go make yourself, what, 7-3 if they win this game? 7-4. Go be a 7-4 football team, which no one saw you can, and really compete. Really, really compete in the division that you absolutely can win next to the 49ers. And to lose this game in the fashion that they did, I mean, Derek Carr played really well, but Josh Jacobs has to be talked about, because this has been multiple weeks.
He's over 1,100 yards already.
Where this guy, he had 33 attempts. He has simply taken over as a top five running back this season. And I don't think everyone had him falling off. But you have to stop it. If you're the Seattle Seahawks, your defense isn't great, but it's been winning you games. And Pete Carroll's a smart enough man where they should come in, and I'm not sure their DC is off the top of my head, but they should be able to commit to a game like this where a team has no life and shut down the best thing, the only thing that they ever get going. And they weren't able to do that. They just literally ran down their throat, and Seattle just looks weak. They look really weak. I mean, to give up an 86-yard rush to end the game is just says a lot. I know they were fighting back and forth in this game. It was a back and forth game, but can't lose this game, especially with a lead with 5 minutes left in the game, and let it slip like this to a really bad team. It sucks, and I think Seattle really they have to come back next week. But if they lose a game like this next week, they'll be kind of where I thought they'd be, just not a strong team. Because now it's been a few weeks now where they haven't really looked as good. They were 6-3, now they're 6-5. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, for Seattle, they've now lost that wild card spot. You know, only by a game. Yep. Washington does have that now, but it's only by a game. So we're gonna have a little bit, you know, of a battle down the stretch. And I really do think unless we see, you know, another team emerge, I think it's gonna be those two down the stretch. And we are, you know, I already touched on, you know, the Commanders' schedule, and it's a tough schedule moving forward. And the Seahawks do have a couple of games coming up that are very winnable, and you need to win if you want to stay in this hunt. And that, you know, the next 2 weeks is Rams Panthers. I mean, you have to go and win those both. Two games, get back into the race, and then you know you have Niners Chiefs Jets, which is three tough games. So that's why these next two games they're both must win games, and then you finish off with the Rams. So I think that this NFC wildcard spot is going to be, you know, a race right down to the end. Both of these teams have, you know, some hard games, you know, left on the schedule against some really good football teams. And I'm excited to watch, you know, Seattle and Washington battle it out for that wildcard spot.
Yeah, and the third wildcard spot has been fun the last 2 years. Yes. Really has. I think it's a good addition. It gets more eyes in the game and gets more teams in and more want to think that we can go somewhere. We see in every sport.
More football, can you complain
who
about?
Hates, who hates it? Yeah, and we see in every sport. You get in, man, anything can happen. And, you know, people get in and you click at the right time and teams look good and you're healthy. That's the biggest thing in football. You're healthy, you never know. So it'll be definitely a fun race down the stretch. But I got to talk about the Birds, man. Sunday Night Football against the Packers and – Aaron Rodgers just, I don't know. I got to see it in person now. Really what that team is all about. Now, first thing I'm going to say, the game couldn't have been any more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
This was the, this is all bias, but this is the best primetime game I think we've seen this year. All the scoring in this game. I mean, the scoring was quick. I mean, you had four touchdowns in the first quarter. You had seven touchdowns by the half. It was a lot of fun. And for the Eagles' sake, they just took it to them how they used to take it to other teams. And they ran it down the throats of Green Bay. I mean, first thing, Jalen Hurts sets a pro football record for most yards rushing by a quarterback in the history of football in a quarter with 109 yards in the first quarter. He ended with 157 rushing yards, which is incredible. This is like Lamar Jackson, prime Lamar Jackson MVP numbers. And then Miles Sanders had $143 on the ground with two touchdowns. But all their running backs got some touch in this game. And they simply just ran it down their throats. H.E. Brown was not banged up, but he had another fumbling issue in his game where he gets stripped again, which is a little bit worrisome. Not that worrisome to see. He also was sick, he said, in this game. But for the Eagles, man, defensively, you definitely tightened up in the second half until late where you let up a Christian Watson
bomb.
Just bomb. Yeah, bomb from Jordan Love. So that's interesting. But yeah, for the Eagles, man, Jalen Hurts, I said before, they need to use his legs more, and it's been worrisome that they were using his legs. In the last 2 weeks, he shut me up completely. And this week, he absolutely did. I mean, he looked incredible, and I think, you know, you have an answer now. You have an answer at quarterback, and he made the right throws. He made some tough throws and throws he wants back for sure. You want to be sharper than 16 for 28, but he didn't look like he had a bad throwing game in his game. The stats might say it, but he didn't have like it didn't look like it. And the eye test is a big thing. But you have your quarterback if you're Philly, and I am very happy to say that, which is I didn't believe in it, to be honest, fully. But a game like this, again, Packers aren't extremely good opponent, but this was a dominating performance by your quarterback on the ground, but he took what was there. And, it was a really, really big win. You couldn't lose this one.
Yeah, no, this is a really big win for Philly. We were able to really see what their offense is when it's running how they want it to be. And obviously, like you said, that's with, you know, Jalen Hurts' legs and with the running backs and working off the play action. And I, to be honest with you, if I'm a Philly fan, I have no complaints about the offense. Defensively, no. Obviously, like you already talked about in the first half, it was shaky at best. But they did tighten it up in the second half. Still a little bit concerning to put up to, you know, to give up 33 points. But at the end of the day, you do have to take the good with the bad.
It is 33 still, points in Super Bowl and one.
You're right. And they did tighten it up in the second half. So you did see defensive adjustments, which was definitely good to see. My biggest takeaway from this game is that I think we might want to see a little bit more Jordan Love. Listen, I don't know. I know that what we've seen in the past from Jordan Love hasn't been very good. And I know we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, who is, you know, a 3-time MVP, Hall of Famer. The offense looked very good with Jordan Love at the end of the game. And I know that a lot of that is inflated by the 63-yard touchdown to Christian Watson. For me, just watching this game, I'm not even looking at stats, just eyeball, I really liked what the offense looked like with Jordan Love. And I think maybe down the stretch, if the Packers continue to be out of it and there's no chance for them to win and to get into a playoff position,
yeah,
I think it would be in their best interest to maybe see some Jordan Love.
Just try it. Because, I mean, this has been the big thing all year with Aaron Rodgers in the offense is who's he got, right? Who's he throwing to?
Jordan Love didn't seem to have a problem.
He didn't seem to have an issue, no. Christian Watson has really, really, really emerged as a really good receiver for them, and he seemed just fine getting it to him. He seemed just fine using his players. He was 6 for 9. I mean, he threw the ball 9 times, but he had a pass rating of 146. Again, inflated by the 63-yard touchdown, for sure. And I don't know. He looked like he was ready for an opportunity and was finally able to make a mark on, like, okay, look, at I'm not just some guy that's going to sit behind this old man every single year, and you're going to keep throwing him out there with nothing out there. Might as well throw me with a bunch of nothing as well and utilize why you drafted me in the first place, which they haven't. It was 2 years ago now. So, and they haven't done anything with him yet. So maybe you're onto something. You know, Jordan Love, I think he absolutely deserves a shot. But as for Rodgers, I mean, he'll play next week.
Oh, yeah.
He'll start.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he'll start the rest of the year.
Yes.
And, but with the whole the thing swirling in the air with free agency, with maybe retirement, with all the stuff above, if they're not going to just help this team offensively out with weapons, give it to the guy who seems to do just a fine job without the weapons and help him out. He's younger. You might as well build around. I think it's time to give away the love-hate relationship that's going on there and move on. And maybe he's a Raider next year. We'll see. We'll see. That'll be that'll be something. So, who knows? But, all in all, fun game to watch.
Yeah.
Really fun game to watch. Good Sunday night football game. And really, really, really good win for the Eagles. It was a little scary, but it was definitely a good win. They needed to win this game. It tells a lot. I mean, you have Green Bay coming back, who I didn't think they were this bad, poorly defensively. That might just be a test to they literally just ran down their throats. They couldn't get off the field.
I think it's also Philly. Philly's offense is elite.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the best they've looked. This is the best they've looked since the beginning of the year when they looked that good.
Yeah.
The last couple weeks, they weren't looking offensively great. This was back to when they were playing at an elite level. So that's really good signs to see that they're turning that up without any wide receiver play in this game at all, other than the touchdown catch from Quez Watkins. But, yeah, and again, with A.J. Brown, he's a little sick, but playing Tennessee next week. He's not missing that one.
No, he'll be there.
He'll be there. So, Monday Night Football, real quick, man. 49ers. Or, not 49ers. Pittsburgh. Indianapolis. Kenny Pickett, you know, Kenny Pickett comes in to, this is home, right? No, this was, it was in Indianapolis. It goes in Indianapolis, Monday Night Football game, plays Jeff Saturday, and does a job. He does a decent job. And you know what? I think I also have to bring this up. Was the Jeff Saturday move really a bit... Is the Indianapolis Colts decision to lose to Kenny Pickett on Monday Night Football after you just competed with the Eagles last week a test to... Like, I like to... Again, the honeymoon period with coaches when they get a new coach. And then you see this offensive performance until extremely late. They looked piss poor. No one was being utilized until that third quarter. And I don't know. And then Jeff Saturday's decision making at the end of the game. I don't think Frank Wright deserved to be fired in this game. I think maybe he lost the room as a player wise, which we did say last week. He might have lost the room as like a guy that can really put, you know, believe in your players to push them to do more. But schematically, I don't think he was the issue here, and I think we saw the same Colts that we've seen all year in this game against a not a great defense in Pittsburgh. Their line is fine, T.J. Watt's back, but that secondary is very bad. Excuse me, and they didn't utilize it well. So I don't know. This was a weird game for me, but the Steelers pulled one out, man, and this was the nail in the coffin, I think, for the Colts as well.
Second time tonight that you stole my absolutely. Oh, completely
I'll take it
stole
all
my
I'll
thunder.
Take it all night. Anything else?
I want to talk about Jeff Saturday. I think it's worn off.
You can take
I think
Jeff
this.
Saturday for
I
sure.
think it's back to the you know back to the bad Colts you know that we've seen all year. For me, Mike Tomlin, no matter what his team is talent wise, he's gonna have his guys ready to play.
He's that type of coach. He's been that coach for a while.
Yeah, and with a young coach in Jeff Saturday, they didn't come out looking prepared. Pittsburgh jumped on him early. And Pittsburgh is not hugely talented on the offensive end. They were able to score early. Najee was able to get in the end zone. And, I mean, to me, this was really, you know, a coach versus coach kind of thing. Mike Tomlin is a great coach. His guys are always prepared. He knows how to win tough, gritty football games. Jeff Saturday's not quite there yet. And, you know, to me, that's the reason Pittsburgh was able to win.
Agreed. And did you think you saw anything from Matt Ryan where, again, you do put him in because he's your better option, but do you think there's still a world where Jeff Saturday goes back and says, you know what, Matt, you got to win me this game here, and I, you know, maybe I didn't put you in the right position to win this game. Jonathan Taylor was utilized but not utilized enough early to help you out, and you got into a big hole where you had to throw the ball and you didn't look hot. Do you put Sam Ehlinger back in this team at this point at 4-7-1?
I don't know. Sam Ehlinger has looked. He looked just as bad.
And, yeah, he looked even worse.
And it, you know, from what I saw from him, if I don't look at him as a franchise guy, move, you know, in the
future.
No,
he's not.
If you don't look at him like that way either, you just keep rolling with Matt Ryan. If you think that he's got a shot to be your guy 5 years from now, yeah, maybe you go to him because Matt Ryan, that was a failed trade for them. And you know, obviously they got rid of you know another guy who's not you know starting, you know, in on his team now too.
Right,
but. That has been a complete failure for Indianapolis. It has not worked out.
Yeah, and they're still looking for a quarterback now. It's been years. Yep. It really has been years, and they can't figure it out. I hope they go in to this draft and look for something or make a trade for something because this team, you know, you have your offensive pieces in Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman, and Paris Campbell has come on lately, and they just haven't done anything with it. But it's young Alec Pierce. He didn't do anything in this game at all, but he has some flashes. So you have some pieces there. If you get a competent quarterback, you might be able to look a little bit better offensively as the Colts. And I don't know, man. It's just tough. It's tough. But like you said, coach in this game. And Mike Tomlin absolutely is the vet, and he just ran all over Jeff Saturday throughout this game. And it looked like Pittsburgh kind of let up a little bit, which, you know, it is what it is. Colts mm-hmm. are clicking, but...
Yep.
Pittsburgh did look good in this game, and Kenny Pickett got another win under his belt. So, there's something. But, it's pick time.
So, I lost my survivor
with
the Denver Broncos last week. I don't know what I was thinking.
That's
I don't remember when I made the pick.
Decision.
And that's just, yeah, it's just a bad decision. I can't defend it in any way. So, it looks like we're just doing two picks each moving forward. I was able to hang in a little longer, but not much. So, the survivors are done. So, I'm going to throw one at you right now that I got. Okay. And I'm going to give you Chiefs in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Going to make it nice, give you a nice primetime 425 Chiefs-Bengals matchup. AFC championship from last game? Year. It's in Cincinnati.
Doesn't matter. Chiefs. Doesn't matter.
All right.
Listen, man, listen, I'm an Eagles fan. I still think the Chiefs are the best team in this league. Honestly, I think they look the best. I think Travis Kelce deserves all the praise for this. Patrick Mahomes, too. But if I was giving MVP to someone that's not a quarterback, it'd be the tight end, Travis Kelce. These guys have just been elite. And I'll take the Chiefs any day of the week versus the Bengals. So let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's go. Oh, goodness. Where did I go? Actually, where am I?
You know what? Let me throw you my second
pick. Throw me a second one, because I don't know where I'm at right now.
I'll throw you a second pick, then. I'm going to go Jets in Minnesota against the Vikings. Mike White coming off the huge victory. Minnesota's also coming off a big victory. You think the Vikings, the Vikings are probably the better team?
Oh, they're the better team. They're the better team.
But that Jets defense can make things happen.
They're the better team. The Vikings offense has been very, very good. The Jets defense has been very good. The Bears are bad, man. The Bears are bad. Their defense is poor. But like I said, though, the Vikings have let up these scores. Do I think that offense is going to click again? Maybe. Man. 1 o'clock. It is 1 o'clock, Kirk. I don't know. This is a tough game. In Minnesota, I think, which is crazy, because you look at this down the, 13 weeks ago, and the Jets are probably 0-13.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
And take that they're going to win this game and move on with it. I think they got a really gritty win last week against a good Patriots defense, and I know the Jets are probably better, but I think I'm going to keep the momentum going forward, and I think Minnesota pulls it out. Close game. Closer than people think, but I think they pull it out in the end.
All right.
So let me go over somewhere for you, man. I want to go actually right here. I want to go Miami-San Francisco. In this game, in San Fran, I believe it's in San Fran, 405.
Yeah,
I know Miami's. Miami's 8-3. They're very good opponent, but I'm interested. Do you think Jimmy's gonna take over? He doesn't need to, but you know what I mean.
You know what? I think the Dolphins are due for a loss, and I think they need one. They've been flying real high the last couple of weeks. Their games haven't even been close. They're outscoring their opponents by hundreds of points. They have been ridiculous. But San Francisco, in their own respect,
San Fran,
is starting to get real hot as well. This is at home. I think San Francisco is a really tough place to go and win games. I think we've seen that the last couple of years with the Rams. And I think it would be to the benefit of Miami to lose this game, figure out a couple of flaws against a really good contending football team in the 49ers. To move forward with, and I think San Francisco is going to get this one done.
That's fair. I like it. I think so as well. I think, real quick, just going to throw it in there.
Yeah.
Eagles fan, right? I think my most dangerous opponent in the NFC is the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh yeah.
Cowboys are. People said the Cowboys from last week, but I think it's got to be San Fran.
I agree. Totally agree.
They're again tough face to play, and it's just that team matches up well against a lot of good teams. Yep. So, I like that. And then I want to throw. What do I throw at you? Jacksonville, Detroit. In Detroit,
Yeah, it's in Detroit. I'm going to take the Lions. I think Jacksonville, coming off a nice win, I just don't think they're that great. And obviously, that's a really good win for them. But Detroit played a really good football game on Thursday against the Bills at home. They don't have to travel. They have a couple more days of rest with playing on Thanksgiving Day. And their offense has looked really good. I do like the Lions. I like what they bring. I like Dan Campbell. I'm going to take the Lions.
I like that. I like it. I was either going there for it, or I was going the Green Bay versus Chicago. I wasn't sure if Justin Fields was back, so I didn't want to give it to you. Yeah. I was going to give it to you, but I didn't give it to you. So.
All right, so the parlay for this week, the Minnesota Vikings, San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs, and Detroit Lions money lines. Hopefully we can get a win.
It ain't hitting, man. It just ain't hitting. So, but I think that'll do it, man. That'll do it for us. Again, another good one. Another good week. A lot more to talk about. Thanksgiving was great. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving. It was definitely been, a lot of food went down. The guzzle. And it was exciting. Good football on. So appreciate everyone for tuning in. Thank you so very much for listening. I hope this parlay better hit because we're in shambles. So until next time, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you in week 14.